Our scripture is out of the Gospel of St. Matthew this morning, chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end, close of the age." I have a confession. This may be a different sermon than I preached earlier at the Presbyterian homes. I got about almost three-quarters of the way through, and I realized something's wrong with this sermon, and I realized part of my sermon notes was hidden in a hymn book, and I was preaching a completely different sermon. But anyway, whatever, we'll let the Holy Spirit decide on which way it goes today. I do have the notes back, so that's the reason why. I did offer to preach it over up there, but they decided to go with the first one instead, the first edition. You know, when the sacrament of holy baptism is performed, it is always accomplished in the familiar formula stipulated by the Presbyterian Book of Church Order. The words spoken are recited in its beautiful and historical and traditional language. "I now baptize thee in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Well, we, of course, understand it to be called the Holy Trinity. Each person of the Holy Trinity has a unique role in our lives in the church. There is such a mystery about the Holy Trinity, it would take eons to try to even begin explaining everything about it. But no preacher, theologian, or Sunday school teacher can really say everything that they know about it, because the Holy Trinity is limitless. But occasionally mystery may be implemented as an excuse which can have some humorous results. A college professor once was grading examination papers at the end of the semester. The professor came across one test paper with a note attached. The student had written, "This test is a mystery to me. Only God knows the answer to this question. Merry Christmas." The professor returned the paper to the student with the written remark, "God gets an A, you get an F. Happy New Year." This passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew guarantees a solid faith foundation as inaugurated by the Holy Trinity. Christ did indeed facilitate in the motion the mission of the church. It is a promise which carries across the centuries to the present. Christ promised it to the disciples, and if you notice in the scripture, to the 11 disciples, because Judas's replacement had not come up to pass yet. But he promised it to the disciples, and it is uniquely called by many biblical scholars the Great Commission. Well, when the Great Commission is applied, it is impossible to separate it and even ourselves from its social and cultural and even ethnic influences of the diverse world about us. God calls the church not just to make disciples, but allows us to participate in whatever our calling is given and prompted by the Holy Spirit. As you remember, we are created in God's image. So God even grooms and forms and even molds what God desires for us to do. Each of us have gifts and talents which are completely in our domain, and God specifies what God wants those to be done and used for. So whatever your neighbor may be able to sew a quilt together, but you may not, but then you may be able to fix a tire. You may be able to talk to somebody who needs maybe a little counseling. We don't know. God a lot of times puts us in positions that we're even not for sure if we can accomplish. But through the assistance of the Holy Trinity, God gives us that motivation and that assurance that all things will work out for the best. It is an invitation here to move beyond our current station in life and encounter a universe which God loves passionately, because so everyone will hopefully enjoy and experience that joyful abundance because of God's grace. Now, this Great Commission I mentioned of here in Matthew chapter 28, it's an interesting thing because, to my knowledge, it hasn't been revoked yet. So we're still supposed to carry it out unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The intrusion of the Holy Spirit as reinvigorated by the Trinity, the other part, Father and Son, is found in many places throughout the world that we would seem unlikely. You've heard me speak about in areas of the world where the gospel is just being preached, how the book of Acts is still coming alive. We would, most of us, be aghast to see how the church actually behaves overseas, and it's not in a negative way because we're just not used to that electrifying, I call it 220 voltage type of church worship. And so the church does behave in a way that you can find in the book of Acts. But the Holy Trinity have behaved in a certain way in some far-flung place called Sumatra. Sumatra is a large island. It used to be called the Dutch East Indies. Now it's called Indonesia. Well, in northern Sumatra on that island, there's a tribal people called the Bataks. Now, up until about 125 years ago, most of them were cannibals and headhunters. Missionaries and Westerners were not exactly welcome with open arms because there seemed to be a lack of understanding, of course, between the two cultures. And also what makes this tribe now unique, and I'll tell you about it, is they're not Muslim either. And so due to a German missionary by the name of Ludwig Nomundsen, he was from northern Germany in the Schleswig-Holstein area of Germany. And these Bataks formerly were hostile, as I said, to Western missionaries, but Nomundsen, through the power of the Trinity, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, realized, hey, I can do a much better job if I respect their tradition and culture, rather than bring my German culture in, and we start eating Wiener Schnitzel. So, what happened? Nomundsen started grooming the Lutheran church according to the style that would be comfortable with these Batak peoples. Suddenly, there were converts by the thousands. People were coming to the Lord, and he was baptizing them. He would baptize on some Sundays as many as one Sunday. I think he baptized 2,500 converts. Fortunately, he used sprinkling. That got the job done a little bit quicker there. But to make a long story short, Nomundsen ensured them that they did not have to behave like anybody in the West. They could develop their own Christian church there without any restrictions upon them at all. I have seen this happen where missionaries had gone in and they tried to import their culture into a place that was completely alien to that culture. And so what happens is those people become almost clones of the missionaries that were sent down either from North America or from Europe. And the Holy Spirit instructed Nomundsen to do this and to develop this so these tribal peoples would receive the gospel with open hearts and mind. This revolutionary approach forever changed cross-cultural missions. And of course, it would take decades for a lot of mission groups to accept this new concept. The Bataks gladly received the gospel. And they are now one of the largest Lutheran church bodies in the world. By creating a flexible adaptation for preaching the gospel with the Holy Spirit, along with Jesus Christ and God the Father in charge, it unleashed a Pentecost-like blitzkrieg upon a previously unevangelized people group. We must remember that the gospel is quite elastic. You say, elastic? Yes, the gospel is elastic. It stretches. You would be amazed at how durable it is with the power of the Holy Trinity behind it. And it may be shared anywhere, and it doesn't require cultural restraints, whether it's in Shanghai, Rio de Janeiro, or Bartow, Florida. It's anywhere you go, you can take the gospel, and it is durable. It summarizes the Holy Trinity as working in perfect harmony wherever God desires. Yes, we are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, both by the authority of God and into the very midst of God's wonderful fellowship called the church, with that glory and honor to be shared throughout all eternity. You just think about that. You know, sometimes, have you ever felt like a failure? You just felt like a big failure, both in your faith and maybe in your life. But you realize later on that it wasn't. Due to the power of God and all that, there was, you saw something good come out of it. I was preaching one time in a Presbyterian church in a place called Campina Grande in Brazil. It was a little out-of-the-way place, the church. You had to, I mean, you didn't even have a GPS. I don't think they even had them then. But I ended up at the invitation of the preacher there to come to preach because I was the American missionary. And so I went, had a packed house, and I started preaching away. And I thought, I got about halfway through the sermon. No, I didn't leave my sermon notes in a hymn book that time. But I realized that was the worst. I started thinking, this is the worst sermon I've ever preached in my life. And I said, God, if you can do something with that sermon, I would appreciate it. But I said, this is a lost cause, I think. So I finished the sermon up. And in Brazil, they have time when they give people chances to make professions of faith. Now, rather than you think of a Sawdust Trail revival where people run down the aisle, they raise their hands. Well, I was busy fiddling around up here in the pulpit, trying to get everything ready, my Bible and everything. And the preacher at the church asked if there were anybody that would like to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. And I was busy like that. And all of a sudden, I looked up and I saw 38 hands raise up. And I didn't hear an audible voice. It was as if I'd heard God chuckling. So you think I couldn't pull it off, huh? And so God put me in my place that Sunday. So sometimes when we underestimate even our own whatever we're doing, God can take it and do something with it that we may never could imagine it to be done with. And if God could take the worst sermon I ever preached in my lifetime and make 38 converts, God is truly remarkable. And you know, the Bible says the arm of the Lord is never too short. So whatever it is in your life, God is there with the longest arm possible. So don't ever limit God. Don't ever shortchange God. And don't think that God will ever shortchange you. God can do some marvelous things. So that is the secret to the gospel. So next time you see some elastic in your stretching, I just think, well, this is like the gospel. It stretches. It stretches, snaps back, but it stretches. And guess what? God is behind it all in the gospel. So don't forget it and remember that. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, sometimes this irresistible promise that's found in the Great Commission seems like it's a very, very difficult thing to accomplish. But we know with you all things are possible. We pray right now if those of us who are facing large mountains to climb. But we know, O Lord, that you are there every step of the way. And when we reach the top, you're going to meet us. We ask, O God, that sometimes when things look pretty bad, that we know that out of it, you will make something good. We ask all this through the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.